Welcome to NHASCD Spotlight. It's our podcast from the New Hampshire Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development. My name is Bill Carrozza, the Executive Director. We encourage you to become a member of NHASCD. You'll receive a lot of benefits, including reduced rates at all of our conferences while supporting our services to educators throughout New Hampshire. Those services include regularly advocating for our state educators, communication through monthly newsletters, social media, and of course, these podcasts. For more information and to become a member, head to nhascd.org/membership. Well, our guests today are Kirsten Sirocco and Christina DiMaselli, both from Pinkerton Academy. Kirsten is a director of personalized learning and growth at Pinkerton Academy in Derry, New Hampshire. She supports the development and facilitation of Pinkerton professional learning and growth, all educational personnel. She's become a leader for professional learning in many state venues, including CTE, which I noticed you've done some work with CTE, career and tech educators. I also found out she's a school board member. Are you still on the school board in East Kingston?
I am.
You are. That's great. Mm-hmm. And she was also an award-winning four-year standout tennis player for Colby Sawyer. That's pretty cool. I play a lot of tennis, so I thought that was great. So thanks for joining us, Kirsten. Christina is the director of EdTech Learning and Growth at Pinkerton Academy in Derry. She has served more than 15 years in education. She's on the NISTE, New Hampshire Society for Tech and Education Board, as the Professional Learning Chair, also a Google Certified Trainer, and much more. I could go on and on. She also has many years working in IT in the private sector, which I think brings a nice experience to the job. And she's been a previous guest on this podcast, of course, speaking on AI, which we're not going to speak. Maybe we'll speak about it today, but it seems like almost every podcast. For a while, it was COVID we always talked about, and now it seems to be but AI. So thank you both for spending time with us today on the podcast. As much as any professional area of life, schools are really faced with the daunting task of staying current with societal, technology, research changes. I know I struggled with that as an administrator for a long time. It looks like Pinkerton's professional learning approach is unique instead of a kind of a one-size-fits-all approach, which is pretty typical in a lot of districts. Faculty are offered a menu of choices. Talk about, and we'll start with Christina, talk about how things are really different at Pinkerton compared to perhaps my experience and the experience of a lot of educators listening right now on the podcast.
Well, I'll start by saying that we made one big change this year, which was bringing Kirsten and myself together. Most places, anywhere you go, have the curriculum, instruction, and assessment side separate and siloed away from the educational technology side. And there was a conscious effort to bring those two sides together. Although Kirsten and I work very closely for years, now it's official and we tackle everything together with that planning partner, kind of bringing it all together. In terms of what Pinkerton is doing different, I'm going to throw that over to Kirsten because she's definitely leading the charge on that. And I support a lot of it. So I'll give that one to her.
Great. Thanks, Christina. It hasn't been something that's just happened overnight, right? Like, I feel like when we talk about personalized learning, we usually talk about how we're doing that with our students in our classrooms and the kiddos that we're educating. We take the approach here at Pinkerton that we are all learners. You look at Fullen and his work about being that lead learner, being the model of what learning embraces, that curiosity, inquiry-based efficacy piece. We've taken all that research and really have made it our goal, pretty much. And so we have worked on this probably for the last 10 years, really looking at how collective educator efficacy would benefit us in a school that's so large and is so integral with so many gears working, everyone having to stay in their lane, so to speak, so that we can keep those gears moving. And so when we saw collective educator efficacy, it became kind of this focus point. We talk about being intentional with our planning, intentional with our learning targets, with our students. It doesn't change just because we're adults. It actually is more effective when we start with our educators and we let the ball roll downhill. If we're taking care of our professionals, our clients will be taken care of because of that efficacy and because of their passions and their desires and needs and wants. And so we started looking at our professional learning through that lens. How do we use the most impactful research-based tool of collective efficacy? And we started doing needs and wants assessments. We started doing teachers teaching teachers in our professional learning. We started getting rid of the one-shot wonder workshops where everyone gets fired up and they leave and they're going to do something in their classroom. But within a week, because we're humans, we go back to our behaviors and habits that we're so used to. And we started a program called CARES. And that's basically looking at, you know, C, it's community, it's kindness and caring for each other. It's looking at credibility and the impact that educators need to have that credibility so that the people we're teaching really believe in us so that we can believe in them. A is about action and accountability and holding all of us accountable for the same reasons and also being authentic. Our R is respect for one another as professionals in that personalized space. We all have different personalities. We all have different skill sets, relying on each other, relationships. And then we have E, which is the efficacy, engagement, encouragement to take those risks, right? Because so many of us as educators, you know, once we get into a system that's working for us, it's really hard for us to change. And so how do we encourage each other to take those risks out there? So CARES has been with us now for about 8 years, and it's been built up to be kind of our programmatic or systematic space. We have anywhere from our own 10 to 12 different CARES, I'll say workshop segments, which go 3 to 6 sessions. So nothing is one and done. You're put into a cohort where people are working together and designing together and learning together. We have a design team model where all of these workshops are being designed by teachers for the teachers. And from there, we find the teacher leaders who are going to facilitate those workshops. We based all of our topics on the needs and wants of our faculty, what they're seeing, respecting their professional judgment, what they're seeing in social emotional spaces, what they're seeing academically with kids, what they're seeing their needs are as being teacher leaders, learning how to facilitate and coach in a student-directed environment versus a teacher-directed environment. So we have multiple ways of collecting all this data, using this data to inform our professional learning instruction, and then actually going in and doing that instruction. Same exact model that you should be using in a classroom. And so we're doing that all the time with everyone. I think one of the cool things, and I'll end with this, is that we don't limit it to just educators. Chris and I work with everyone across campus. So everyone on campus, we believe, is an educator. If you speak to a kid in any capacity, you are an educator. And so I have worked very closely with our nursing department. I've worked very closely with our security department. Chris has worked closely with our library staff. So, and that's just to give a few examples. So I'm going to pause there because that was a lot and there's a whole lot more, but I'm going to pause there. And Chris, you have anything to add? Like, what did I miss?
I think that some of it as being, we see everybody as an educator. So when I look at myself being in that support role, I'm supporting just about anybody who is an employee here on campus. And so that gives the personalized part of it a little bit more weight as well, because I can go into an admin assistant and work with them just as easily as I could with a science teacher. It doesn't matter.
Something you said, Christina, at the beginning about linking the curriculum development with technology, it reminds me, and I'm not saying this because we're an affiliate of ASCD, but ASCD and ISTE have now combined internationally. You know, they're now one organization, and we're seeing, as time goes on, ways in which we're working together. In fact, the ASCD-ISTE conference next year is going to be together for the first time. So there won't be separate conferences. It just seems like that's where the world is going, right? The tech tools have to work together with those who have a vision for curriculum and professional development. I think you probably came upon that really naturally because you two work together anyway. Christina, is that accurate?
Yes. And we also, I consider Kirsten to be my planning partner. So we do planning partners here at Pinkerton as well. So, you know, what Kirsten talked about was a lot of the conceptual thing and setting kind of that groundwork and the foundation that we do as a school, the culture that we do, the research that it's based in. But some of the things that are a little bit more, I guess, approachable for someone that might be new to this would be a planning partner model. So everybody's encouraged to have a planning partner. It's an intentional space, a safe space where you, the two of you or three of you, whatever, could sit together and talk about what you're working on, bounce ideas off of each other, push each other a little further. And Kirsten and I do that on a daily basis. And we definitely push each other and get the best out of each other. Our skills complement each other very well. So when you're talking about that intentional use of educational technology within an instructional environment, you have to have that curriculum piece in that as well. So the two of us working together as planning partners, you know, I always go in and say, okay, let's change the world. Let's do it today. This is it.
A good friend of mine uses the term, time is the currency of school improvement. And I wonder how you find the time in a educator's day. I'm guessing you might start off with a larger workshop and then work into your coaching model, but talk about how that works. How do you find the time to do what we all know needs to be done?
So I think one of the things that's really important is, and Bill, you would understand this, right? So leadership, educational leadership is talked about a lot. There's a lot of theory out there. There's a lot of great research out there from people. But I think if you look at how action occurs, right, there's a theory, what we call the conscious space. You have all this theory, you have all these great ideas, you brainstorm, but then there's a need to move to action. And that is where the bridge gets really wobbly going over to that other side. We can have great ideas, we can create plans, we can create calendars, we can create lots of stuff. But if people don't move into action to actually start it and own it, right? And it's not just the buy-in. So I get a little weird about the word buy-in. Everyone uses, everyone's going to buy in. Well, I'm not selling you anything. I need you to commit to this space. I need you to understand that we're doing this intentionally for a reason. It's not the Christina and Kirsten show when we show up in someone's room, right? We do this very intentionally with a lot of research behind us. So when we moved to action and we were coming up with all these things, it was because Pinkerton's leadership moved to action. And it is not this, I won't say top down. We have, you know, we have processes and we're a big school, so things have to happen in a structured way, I'll say. And we get told no a lot because we're way out there, right? We go in really excited, but we are. That's why they're paying us, is to be innovative thinkers, to look at this research and to say, we can do this. And here's the systematic approach to how we can do this. And I think, you know, I applaud Pinkerton's leadership for trusting us. And that's where it starts, right? And so where does the time come in? They've given us the time. This is our job, right? And then Chris and I are part of another team where we have 8 other instructional coaches who are dedicated to instructing other teachers. We have a little bit of a different model than some other schools. Our coaches also continue to be practitioners. So they are in the classroom for 3 classes, modeling for everyone what should be being done in the classroom. So they have teachers coming into their rooms all the time to watch them. in other teachers. So we have an open door policy. Teachers are just going in, watching each other, almost like that micro teaching. Although we're not videotaping, right? Because we don't want kids in videotapes. We are having teachers give feedback to each other as that kind of micro teaching space. And so from that action, we move to reflection. And our strongest reflective practitioners, the ones who are honest, the ones who are data diving, the ones who are using their planning partners to push them and encourage them to take some of these risks and to change some of these behaviors. The movement that we've seen is just incredible. The cultural change on campus is incredible. And it's not perfect. You know, nothing's perfect. But having people being open to these spaces, it's not about time anymore because they want to do it. Their planning periods become these spaces of data diving and reflective spaces. Our time together, Chris and we schedule each other, obviously, like our calendars are booked, right? But we're doing this 3 or 4 times a week to make sure that this is happening. Our coaches are going in and planning 2 or 3 times a week with their co-teaching participants. And those coaches or instructional coaches are in the classroom with those teachers. And that becomes part of our onboarding. So you come to Pinkerton for the first, second, and third year, you are being onboarded in this space. And how lovely for teachers who are either just beginning or, like you said, for me in CTE, for folks coming out of industry who have not gone to teacher prep school, this is really a space of continuing ed and doing it in a research-based method, right? It's not just in theory, it's in action and reflection also. So it becomes sustainable.
Kirsten, you talked about school culture having been improved. What evidence do you have of that? How have you seen that be the case?
So, you know, I think some of it is subjective, and I'll be honest. You know, having conversations with people, having the ability to be a coach myself, right? So when I go and coach people or when Chris coaches or when our other coaches go in and they're just having those conversations about where are you as a person, as a teacher, where are you with your kids? We get a ton of feedback because it's open and honest and it's, you know, not on the, we'll say the Google form, right? But we have to use the Google form. We have to. We have 275 full-time faculty here at Pinkerton. We have to use some type of written evidence. So the last 8 years, after all of our cares, after planning partners, after working in a 6-week co-teaching experience with an instructional coach, we document everything. We do a program called Learn With Me, which is this open door going in intentionally. I'm going to see discourse in a classroom, like using Harkness, a Socratic method. I'm specifically going in to see a student. Is it student advocacy controversy? What is that? SAC, Chris? Is that what it is? Yeah. Any instructional method, we'll say, that is very student directed. And so when teachers go in and do that, we get their feedback about what they saw and what action they're going to take and how we know that that action was taken. Right? So it's that accountability piece. And so we have documented, like I said, years of feedback. And was the facilitator credible? Did you feel the person that was delivering the information to you, were they credible? I would say 90% of the time, these teachers come out saying, oh, I didn't know so-and-so was so good at that. That's amazing. We have so much talent on our own campus. That's right. So why not use that talent? We have skills from everybody. We believe everybody has a certain skill and everybody can teach somebody. So we have plenty of data to say that over the years, we need an expert to come in and teach us. Sometimes we do. We do that. Like we've had school counseling look at people come in and teach them about anxiety. I have had Peg Dawson, who is the exec skill guru, come in and work with us on exec skills. And then we do a train the trainer series. And then those trainers go out and train the rest of the campus. So we just feel this energy around believing in each other, which is the efficacy part. And therefore, your attitude and behaviors change because of that.
And I noticed that you did head to Phillips Exeter at one point to look at the Harkness model. That means that Pinkerton's not afraid to borrow and steal from others' great ideas.
No, and is it PEA has made a commitment to that instructional method, right? They've been doing that for years and years. They are so excited to share that with people. You know, the research they've done around Harkness and what that looks like. And there's actually technology, right, that Chris, that we have that align identical to Harkness. And so now you can blend those worlds together. And our teachers use this technology for a flipped classroom or for kiddos who are shy and want to use it kind of behind the camera, but still want to be part of the discussion. They now have ways to do Harkness in a writing space. And it's not necessarily all done in humanities either. We have our teachers doing Harkness in math classes. I mean, it's just phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Yeah.
I'll put a link in the show notes to the whole Harkness model. I've never used it, but I've done some reading on it. It's common sense, but Phillips Exeter's been doing it for years, I think, with great success. So, Christina, I know that AI, there we go. We said it. We had to put it on the show at some point. You do a lot of coaching, teacher coaching around AI, and we can't ignore it. It's sort of the new Google. It's going to be here forever. So how does that look in your new professional learning system?
So with AI, usually we're used to in the education sector, things moving slowly, people being able to kind of push off initiatives because they don't want to deal with them, put their fingers in their ears. And this is not one of them. And it's also an uncomfortable space because it's moving so much that it's quicksand under our feet. But again, looking at Pinkerton and the leadership at Pinkerton, understanding the gravity of what was happening in the AI world and knowing that we had to be on top of it, again, gave me the space and time with which to start putting things together. So from the get-go, we had leadership getting their hands dirty with it, getting into there and trying it out and seeing what it was about, having discussions about it. And that was from day one. And then we moved very quickly to, you know, creating new policy for that and doing that with the cross-curricular team. The next step after that is we have to start, you know, giving some professional learning to our faculty. And because, again, we're so big, it's very, very rare that you would have a, you know, all-call staff meeting where everybody's going to get the same information all at once. Very rare that that happens. And we're very big on personalized learning. That's where it's at. That's really where you're going to take it on board and transfer. So in order to do that, you have to be able to provide information through a variety of different formats. I created a self-paced online module that staff could do that they would get credit for when they went through, gave them the foundational pieces of AI. We have done, you know, looking at who our early adopters are, who our early adopter leaders would be, our lead teachers, our tech leaders, management teams, admin teams, and kind of went there first to give them one-on-one training with me. And then we use that model of the teachers teaching teachers, which is really very, very effective. And we do that through what we call design teams, which means that for example, we have a cohort that's going right now that has gone over 6 sessions. And it's about 30 some odd teachers that signed up for it. Nobody's required to. This is, you know, personalized learning. This is what you want to learn about. Instead of me being up there in front of them, teaching them about this, which I am certainly capable of doing, but they're going to take it on board much better if they get it from a peer, from a colleague, somebody that is in the classroom right next to them. So what we end up doing is we kind of put together these a design team in this case, which would be comprised of, you know, myself, Kirsten, maybe a lead teacher or other people that are considered knowledgeable in that subject matter. And then one of them will say, I'll be the facilitator. I feel comfortable doing that. And then we support them in building that cohort, building that model, building what they're going to be presenting. And then they are the ones that present it. So not only does it give the participants a peer in front of them, somebody that's using it in the classroom can give examples and modeling directly with that, and that's really effective. But it also gives a chance for that person to gain some more leadership skills. So you've got, you know, win-win all over the place. And we use that design model in a lot of different places. So we have those cohort models. And then again, specifically for AI or for anything, anybody can call me or contact me and say, you know, come teach me. I had our cosmetology teacher down in CTE who said, I want to learn about AI. Come teach me about it. And I went down, sat down with her for an hour, taught her all about it. Then we brainstormed how she could use it in her space. Her brain was on fire. She was so excited about it. She called me 2 weeks later and said, let's do another hour. Come on down. Or a science teacher might call me and say, I want to learn about AI. Come teach me, because I do better one-on-one. And I'll say, who's your planning partner? Do they want to come too? And so there'll be three of us sitting down and brainstorming and looking at stuff from that perspective. So there's a lot of different ways and a lot of different angles for AI specifically, because it's a little bit time sensitive and it's ongoing process. We have to keep on going with it. We're not the one and done space, but I don't do it alone.
It seems to me that the two of you need to keep on learning like crazy. And I know you have presented at conferences. Does that help keep you current? Because as you say, it's changing so fast.
It does. And it also puts things in perspective for us. So it's particularly with AI, using that as the example, because I do tend to present on that quite a bit. I've started taking Kirsten with me. We go on what we call the road show, right? Because again, the two of us together are much more, it's much more of a powerful message when you have those two things together. And we presented down in Mass for, you know, like tech directors and things. And Kirsten felt very out of her element, but did a fantastic job because we're bringing those two things together. But it's also interesting for me to be in a space and I can ask a question and realizing how far ahead Pinkerton is from the majority of people in the room. So that gives a little bit of perspective as well, to say that we're doing it, at least in a timely manner. I don't want to say we're doing it better, but we're doing it in a timely manner. And I definitely learn from any of the connections that I have, whether they're the groups that I'm on online. You know, ISTE, I'm a community leader with ISTE. So you have a lot of those groups and the coaching groups there that are just tremendous, smart people. And yes, at the conferences too, even just talking to somebody, you know, when you do a walk and talk, you're going to take something away from it. So yes, absolutely. There's a lot of different ways to bring the knowledge in. You have to be open to it and realizing that you're not the expert in anything.
Not anymore. Kirsten, there's likely educators listening right now that would love to perhaps change their school, but at least bring a little bit of the Pinkerton spirit into their professional learning. What's a great way they can contact you guys? And I assume you're just willing to answer emails or take phone calls?
Of course. Yes, absolutely. We're all in this together, right? So both of us have emails at Pinkerton. I'm kisirocco@pinkertonacademy.org. You can certainly email me with any questions. At that point, we can decide if you want to connect. We have people come over and shadow Chris and I for a day. We can put you in classrooms so you can see kind of our, you know, it's not just us as teachers or adults, right, being inquiry based. It's how we're operating in the classroom. So if you wanted to see this type of facilitation going on in the actual classroom, we could set up any professional learning day for teachers or administrators to come over and see it happening. You know, I think the one thing, if you know, we all want to be around people who want to do this work, right? We want to be around people who believe in the same things and value the same things. But my encouragement to any educator listening is, it starts with yourself. Don't wait for anyone to say, I'll wait till they tell me I have to do it, or I'll wait till they say that this is what we're going to do. If you believe firmly that shifting and changing needs to occur, and you know what that is, start working on that and start building your own capacity, because you will find your people. They will come out. You will find your people. So don't be afraid. And so I would encourage you to take those risks. and reach out to Chris and I for certain, because we're happy to help build that capacity and keep all of us learning, because we're all learners.
Well, the passion you both show just for your jobs and for education is, even to me, worth even more than the specifics of your professional learning plan, because teaching education is still fun. It's a lot of work, but I just want to encourage everybody listening that it's still the best job in the world. And the two of you show that, I think, probably every day. I'm not saying there's not frustration, but overall, it's a fun job.
Well, we agreed. It definitely is. And again, when you can find a space that will support you, and if you can find that planning partner, I'm very fortunate to have Kirsten, because the two of us come up with a lot of ideas. And we have a leadership that is at least willing to hear the ideas. They don't always land, but when they do, we're moving.
Well, thank you so much for your time, the two of you, in the middle of the school day.
Thanks too. Thanks for having us. Yeah, all good.
I'm sure you have meetings and things to go to as well. I wish we had, we'll have to do this again. We need another half an hour at least, just to cover more of the material. But thank you again, and have a great spring.
Thanks again. Thank you for having us, Bill. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Well, our mission at NHASCD is to serve as a catalyst for conversation and action to inspire excellence in teaching, learning, and leading. You can find links to what we talked about today in the show notes, of course, located on our Spotify podcast page, accessible on the front page at nhascd.org or any podcast player. We're on Apple, Google, and Spotify, so you can find us there, as well as Twitter X, Facebook, Instagram. And you can contact me anytime at bill@nhascd.org. I'm Bill Carozza, Executive Director. We'll see you next time for NHASCD Spotlight. Take care, everybody.